alive. And isn't it good that we are guaranteed a happy ever after? I've read the end of the book, guys. You know, God gives us a hope. He's promised us a future, and he's promised us an eternity. And that's not a fairy tale. That's reality. Praise God for it. So, as you heard, one of the stories that Kids Connection looked at was Little Red Riding Hood. And we know the story. The big bad wolf comes along and he deceives Little Red Riding Hood by appearing to be something that he wasn't. He dresses up as her granny. And Kids Connection then looked at Proverbs 4, and there they started to learn about the wisdom of God and how that godly wisdom can prevent us from being deceived. I thought that was a powerful lesson for our young people to learn. But isn't there a powerful lesson in there for us to learn? That God's wisdom prevents us from being deceived. So you've guessed it, my first W, wisdom. Now Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives skillful and godly wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." I want all of that. That's what I want operating in my life. I'm quite greedy. I want all of that. I love the book of Proverbs. It's one of my favourite books. And this is why. It is jam-packed with wisdom, but it's jam-packed with common sense, good advice that helps us lead successful Christian lives. And I don't know about you, but I want to live a successful Christian life. And the older I get, the more I realise that I still have so much to learn and that I have to draw on God's wisdom just for my everyday life. You see, life can be tricky sometimes, can't it? In fact, life can be hard and we've got many decisions to make. We've got many choices to make. We are bombarded through the media and social media with so many things, don't we? And we need God's wisdom to help us along the way. We need wisdom in raising our children. Boy, do we need wisdom in raising our children. We need wisdom in our relationships, wisdom in our finances, wisdom in our work and careers. In fact, there's not one area that wouldn't benefit from the wisdom of God. So, there is a story in Proverbs 7. I'm not going to read it. If you're at all interested in what I'm saying today, feel free to do some homework and read Proverbs 7. But essentially, in this story, we read of a young man. A young man who had been seduced by a married woman. And she is tempting him. She's trying to deceive him. She's tempting him with lots of lovely things. She's tempting him with lots of lovely food. She's tempting him with lots of lovely wine. And this one made me laugh. She's tempting him with Egyptian sheets. Gail, as the specials don't cut it. And I don't even know where you would buy Egyptian sheets. Anyway, apparently he was being tempted by Egyptian sheets. Okay? Who knew? And this all happened in the dark of night. And the young man foolishly thinks he's going to get away with it, when ultimately he had to face the consequences. Have you ever made a bad choice and you've had to live with the consequences? I have. It's pretty rubbish, isn't it? Have you ever been deceived and then had to live with the consequences? It's not nice. So, back to the passage. Essentially, when you read Proverbs 7, you're reading a father's words to his son. He's encouraging him to avoid making mistakes. He loves his son. He doesn't want him to be seduced. And he's giving him a whole lot of warnings of what would eventually happen to him if he didn't heed his advice. The father was a loving father. He was giving him good advice. He was imparting wisdom. And our Heavenly Father does this for us, doesn't he? You know, he has given us this word in its entirety to help us make good decisions, to help us not be deceived. You know, in this word, you will find encouragement. You will find instruction. You will find advice. You will find wisdom to ensure that we have successful lives. You see, God wants us to succeed. He's not sent us up to fail. He's given us it here. So back to the story. The young man in the story was naive. He was immature. He acted foolishly. And he allowed himself to be seduced, not realising the consequences that he would eventually experience. spoiler alert, he actually loses his life. And if I'm sure if we were really honest this morning, we could maybe see something of ourselves in this story. Maybe you see yourself as the father giving wisdom to your children and they're not really listening to you. Maybe you are facing temptations. You know, we may not be seduced the way the young man was in the story, but we face many temptations every day, don't we? Even as Christians, you know, we are bombarded by information. What do we watch on the telly? What do we read? You know, do we eat too much? Do we drink too much? Do we spend too much? I've got to rein myself in. I'm partial to a frock or two. That's what I spend my money on. But the point is, you know, we are faced with many, many temptations. But God is our Father, like the loving Father in the story. He is our Father, and His word is there to help us avoid these things, to help prevent us being deceived, to help us make wise decisions. His word, and here's the key, if we apply it. You see, God's provided it for us, guys. But unless we apply it, unless we dig into it regularly and make it part of our daily routine, guess what? It will bring provision. It will bring peace. It will bring joy. It will bring hope. It will bring strength. And ultimately, it will bring freedom. That's my testimony. This word has set me free this morning. And I walk in freedom only because of the word of God and the fact that Jesus died for us. Now, as parents, we give our children advice, don't we? Why? Is it because we're big party poopers and we don't like them having fun? No, because we love them, don't we? You know, ladies, when we get those new babies, you know, those lovely wee chubby babies, I had one in front of me this morning, and they smell beautiful, and we get them home from the hospital, what's the first thing we try to establish? We try to establish a routine, don't we? And then, as they get older, we start putting boundaries in place because we love them, because we want them to avoid danger, don't they? You know, at university, I studied sociology, and we'd done this study, and I can't remember the name of the study, but we looked at this study, and it was conducted in a school in America, and they monitored children in a playground, and there was a big high fence around that playground, and they watched these children at play over a period of time. And those children played in every corner of that playground. And then they took the fence down and they monitored the same group of children over a period of time. And they watched the behaviour, and the behaviour changed because the kids all gravitated towards the centre. They tended to crowd together. And the lesson, or the suggestion from that study, was that there was security in boundaries. And I tend to agree with that. I think there is security in boundaries. That's why we give our kids bedtimes. That's why we don't feed them chocolate in the morning, isn't it? Because we want them to avoid danger. We want them to thrive. We want them to avoid bad consequences. Now, I've got three children. And my youngest daughter, Steph, when she was three, she was a wee firecracker. She was into everything. She had an adventurous spirit. She was dead curious. She's still the same today. But she had a fascination for lamps, and especially when they were on. And over and over and over again, I would say to her, "Sweetheart, you cannot touch that lamp because it's hot and it'll burn your finger." And I had to reiterate this several times. One night, you guessed it, I'm sitting, and in she runs with her wee PJs on, breaking her heart, crying, holding out her little finger, and she said, Mum, I've got a moon on my finger. And I says, well, Stephanie, how did you get that moon on your finger? And she said, I touched the lamp. So here, this gorgeous girl of mine, she had not taken her mama's advice. She had not drawn on my wisdom. And she had touched that lamp, burnt her finger, a big blister had appeared, and in her three-year-old eyes, that looked like a moon. God's word is full of wisdom, and guys, it's there to stop us getting burnt. It's there to stop us getting moons on our finger. But I said earlier, we have to apply the word. We have to ask for wisdom to help us make our decisions, to prevent us from being deceived, to manage our family, to manage our careers, our finances, and so on. So my encouragement from my first W this morning is, is dig deep, ask for wisdom, take our Father's advice, and watch as he blesses us in every area of our lives, and he will stop us from being burnt. He'll stop us getting a moon on our fingers. And another story the Kids Connection looked at was Pinocchio. Now, we all know the story of Pinocchio, don't we? He was a puppet, and then he became a real boy. I'm a real boy now. I've watched too much telly. Do you know that? You know the story? But what was the thing about Pinocchio? His nose grew when he told lies. And the scripture that Kids Connection ran in parallel with this was found in Acts 5, 1-11. Again, I'm not going to read it this morning, but in that portion of scripture, you will find the well-known story of Ananias and Sapphira and what happened to them when they tried to deceive. It cost them the ultimate. It cost them their lives. And as we heard from Fiona earlier, the message, the lesson that the kids learned from this story was to put good, honest words on their mouth. Again, a powerful message. So my second W this morning is words. Proverbs 18:21, Lisa Mackay. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Strong words. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. That kind of blows my mind a bit. Because, you know, we use words every day, don't we? You know, Pastor Hugh and Pastor Debbie and Danny and the rest of the elders, words are in their toolbox to help them fulfill their ministry and do their jobs, to preach, to teach, to counsel, to check in on people. You know, doctors and nurses use words in diagnosing your sickness. I used to teach for a living, and I use words to unpack information. Some of us use more words than others. I'm a chatty Cathy. I probably use more words than the average person. But the point is, words are a necessary part of life. But here's the question, how do we use our words? Now, if I was to go around this room this morning, I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, would be able to relate a time where they've had a cruel or a negative word spoken to them, about them, or over them. But more significantly, you would be able to tell me how those words made you feel. Might have made you feel unloved, rejected, fearful, unimportant, not wanted, and so the list goes on. There was a wee rhyme that we used to sing when I was wee. Well, I'm still wee, but when I was young, you know what I mean. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words or names can never hurt us. Guys, that simply isn't true. Words cause so much damage. You know, I have been a Christian for well over 30 years now, and I have been involved in ministry, and I have seen close up the damage that negative words have. I have seen adults who still suffer from the pain of rejection. It has affected every part of their life. It's affected their self-confidence. It's affected their mental health. In some cases, it's affected their physical health. Words can cause so much damage. But here's the good news. Don't you like good news? I like good news. The best way to counteract negative words is to find out what God says about you. Who does he say you are? You see, if my washing machine breaks, I go and get my wee manual out my bottom drawer. You know that bottom drawer where everything's in it? That's where my manuals are. I go there and I look to see, because the maker's manual tells me how to fix my washing machine. And your maker's manual, God's word, tells you who you are. For example, John 1:12 says that you are a child of God. Isn't that good? It doesn't matter what kind of relationship you had with your earthly father, whether that was good or bad, whether your earthly father is still with us. You are a child of God. God's word describes him as Abba Father. He is your daddy God, and he adores you. John 15:15 says, you are a friend of Jesus. What a privilege. You know, many of us in here have got good friends in our life. I'm blessed with some of the best. Some of them are here this morning, and they're smiling big, encouraging smiles to me this morning. And I thank God for the friends that God has given me. But you know, guys, the best friend you'll ever have is Jesus. And Jesus says that he calls you friend. I think that's wonderful. Romans 15:7 tells us that we're accepted. Not if you come up to scratch. Not if you do A, B, C or D. Not if you tick all the boxes. God accepts you just the way you are. I, for one, I'm grateful for that because, guys, I mess up sometimes. Pastor Debbie, I'm no perfect. I make mistakes, but I am glad that I am accepted. And God accepts us the way we are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, God leads us in triumph. Some version says, God always leads us in triumph. Guys, you were built to be a success. If you've been told you're no good, if you've been told you're not wanted, if you've been told you're a mistake, that is a lie because God doesn't make mistakes. God created you. He says he's got a plan and a purpose for your life. His plans are for good and not for harm. God wants you to be a success. The Bible tells me that he always leads us in triumph. So don't believe the lie. And if you go through the Word of God, there's loads there. It says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't know. I'm only 4'10½". But the Bible says I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So I'm going to take that. God's Word says that we are his masterpiece. We are the apple of his eye. Do you know that you're God's favourites? I'm his favourite too. Yeah. How good is that? Now, I've been cutting about with a crown on this morning. And I've had some strange looks. Some people have actually said, why are you wearing a crown? I wanted to join in with Kids Connection because they're all beautiful this morning. But you see, who wears crowns? I've got a wee puppy here. Look at this. Multitasking. How good am I? Who wears crowns? Well, princes and princesses wear crowns. You see, the thing is, I am a daughter of the King. You are sons and daughters of the King. Not any king. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So guys, our identity is in God, not what others say about you. You see, David's brother saw a shepherd. God saw a king. Goliath saw a wee boy. God saw a mighty warrior. Our identity, guys, is in God. So can I encourage you this morning to let's renew our minds, break the hold these negative words have over us and remind ourselves daily of who we are in God and how God sees us. You see, I stand today and I know here today and I know who I am because I know whose I am. And guys, if any of that relates to you today, after the service, the cross is open. Don't carry it a minute longer. Please come and our ministry team, our prayer ministry team will pray for you this morning. So, as it turns out, the Bible's got a lot to say about words. Proverbs 6:2 says, we are snared by the word of our mouth. It's a tricky one, isn't it? So let me ask you a question. How do you use your words? And before I say what I'm going to say, I don't want anybody feeling condemned or in bondage about the words they use. That is not the point of what I'm saying today. The point of what I'm saying today is just to slow us down and make us think a bit more about the words we use. So, do we constantly talk about how bad our situations are? Do we constantly talk about the sorry state that the world is in around us? What kind of words do we use? Do we use words of doubt, words of fear, words of hopelessness, words of negativity? But Mary, you may say, I'm just stating the facts here. My life is terrible just now. Are you wanting me to tell lies and say my life is good when it's bad? Do you want me to say I'm well when I'm sick? Do you want me to say I'm prosperous when I'm skintle? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But here's the thing. There is a difference between lying and speaking by faith. Okay? A lie is meant to deceive someone, and we've heard the consequences of that. But to speak by faith, guys, is simply to speak words that agree with the word of God and not your circumstances. It's speaking from your spirit and not from your mind. Romans 4:17 says, call those things which are not as if they are. Remember, I read that verse, that there is life and death in the power of the tongue. Guys, God spoke this world into being. That blows my mind. He spoke it into being. Every person, every living creature, every organism he spoke into existence. God's words were creative and they brought life. And here's the thing. God is the same yesterday, today and forever. Guess what? God's words still bring life. They can bring life into your circumstances, life into your body, life into your finances, life into this cost of living crisis that we're hearing about every day in the news. God's word still brings life. And we can influence our circumstances, we can influence this world around us with the words that we use, be they positive or be they negative. And let me quickly say something about fact and truth. So what do I mean about that? For example, you may have pain and sickness in your body today, and that is a fact. But God's word says in Isaiah 53:5, by my stripes you're healed. That is the truth. You may be struggling financially today, and that is a fact. But God's word says in Philippians 4:19, that our God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. That's the truth. Your children may be making bad choices today or not living the life that you would like them to. But God's word says in Isaiah 54:13, our children are taught of the Lord and great will be their peace and well-being. In fact, if you flip over to Jeremiah 31:17, it says that your children will come back to their own borders. Some version says land, some versions say country. What it means is our children are coming back to where they belong. Guys, I've got three fantastic children. They're all young adults now, but I had the privilege of leading every single one of them to the Lord. They were brought up in the church. I saw my children serve God, two in the worship team, one in creche, and I saw them thrive in that. But life happened, and they were very badly hurt by someone who knew better, and they stopped coming to church. They've not all lost their faith, but they don't come to church. But I'm a praying mama. If you've got a praying mama, you're blessed. I'm a praying mama, and I know there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And those last two scriptures I read out, I declare and proclaim them over my children and their partner's life every single day. Because guess what? Thank you. Guess what? This world and the devil ain't getting my children. Not a chance. My children are coming back to where they belong. Your children are coming back to where they belong. We're going to need more seats because our prodigals are coming back, because the Bible tells me so, and I believe it. As I was preparing this word, God showed me that there were some people here who life was tough at the moment. They were just doing life hard. And these people were seasoned Christians. Christians who had been on the road a long time, who have stood in the word, who have stood in the promises, and they have seen God come through over and over again. But you guys are battle weary and you're feeling a bit overwhelmed. Well, God wants to say to you this morning that there is power in the name of Jesus. Pastor Debbie spoke in this 2 weeks ago. There is power in the name of Jesus. Can I encourage you, if you come into that category, speak Jesus over your situation. Speak Jesus into your home. Speak Jesus into your body. Speak Jesus into your finances, because there is power in the name of Jesus. You know, a few years ago, my life as I knew it, in the space of one weekend, lay shattered at my feet. And I was broken. I was bereft. And I was traumatised, so much so that my body just started to shake and I couldn't stop it. And I went into my bedroom and I lay down on my bed and I couldn't lift up my Bible and look for the promises that I'd stood on so many times before. I was a greeting mess. I was traumatised. I couldn't even get my thoughts clear. But deep down, not in there, but deep down in your knower, I knew that there was power in the name of Jesus. I also knew that there was no other place for me to go but the feet of Jesus. I knew that the only one person that was going to get me out of the mess that I'd found myself in was Jesus. So I lay on my bed, and I lay, and I can remember it to this day, and I said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And that's all I could say. I said it out loud. I don't know how many times I said it. I don't know how long I said it, but I said the name of Jesus. And here's what happened. The atmosphere in my bedroom changed. There wasn't a physical presence, but the atmosphere changed. And this has happened to me a few times, particularly when I've been at my most broken. I was enveloped by an overwhelming sense of well-being, an overwhelming sense of, Mary, it's going to be okay, because you see, what happened was Jesus entered the room. And when Jesus enters the room, the atmosphere changes. But Jesus doesn't come alone, he brings his Holy Spirit and he's our comforter, isn't he? You see, and guess what? It was okay. In fact, it was more than okay. I'm standing here today and I'm living in the goodness of God, and praise God for it. We serve a good God, don't we? So guys, there is power in the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid to use it. So in finishing now, we've talked a lot about negative words and the effects and how to counteract them. What does the Bible say about good words? So, Proverbs 18:4 says, wise words are like deep waters. Wisdom flows from the wise like a babbling brook. Can you picture that? That to me, I can just see that in my mind. It's just a constant flow of wisdom. I want that for my life. I don't want to be two steps forward, one step back. I want God's wisdom and God's word just to be flowing in my life like that babbling brook. Proverbs 15:4 says, gentle words bring life and health. Proverbs 15:3, my favourite, says, everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. Guys, that's talking about a word in season. Have you ever had a word in season? It's like a balm to your soul. I remember as a young, busy mum, I had 3 kids in 5 years. And I can remember one particular day. Have you ever had a day like that where you were stressed out your nut? I was trying to get these kids to nursery and school. One of those days where your kids were ripping your knitting. Is it just me that happens to? I was just having a right bad day. I was functioning on little sleep. I'd got the wee one ready. I'd sat him down. He was all ready to get out the door. I turned. I gave the backpacks and I gave the packed lunch boxes to the 2 older ones. I turned round. He'd stripped himself down naked, had his shoes off. And I had like 5 minutes to get them to nursery school. I had to get them all dressed again. Guys, I was running in empty. And I dropped the kids at school and I had to go to the supermarket to get my shopping. And I was just feeling sorry for myself. In fact, I'm sure my petty lip was away out here because I was just feeling pretty rubbish. And as I walked into that supermarket, I met an old family friend. A lady who was a wonderful lady of God who I had done church with for many, many years. And in the course of the conversation, she says to me, you know, Mary, she says, after I read my Bible every day, she says, I've got a wee book, and in my book, I've got lots of prayer points, she says, and I pray and I intercede over those points every single morning. She says, you and your family are in my book. She says, I pray for you and your family every single day. Guys, in that moment, I received a word in season. This woman had taken time out of her day every day. God had placed me and my family on her heart. Guys, my day changed. I skipped into Morrison's to get my shopping that day. Why? Because I had received a word in season. So my encouragement on my second W today for you guys is to stop and think about our words. Not to get into condemnation, but to stop and think about it. To dig into God's word and find the verses that apply to our individual situations. To find those words and speak them over and into our circumstances. Let's put words of encouragement on our lips. Let's be carriers of words in season. That's my prayer every morning. Lord, let me be a carrier of word in season. Dale Carnegie, I love a quote, guys, so here comes one. Dale Carnegie wrote, perhaps you will forget tomorrow the kind words you say today, but the recipient may cherish them over a lifetime. That's powerful, isn't it? Let's call those things that are not as if they are. Let's ask for wisdom so that we can confidently say the right thing at the right time. And let's speak words that reflect the wholeness that we desire. And guys, as we do, we shall see the life-giving, creative power of God move in our lives and move in our circumstances. And finally, guys, let's remind ourselves this morning that we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of this universe, the mighty God. But not only is he all those things, he is also our good, good Father who loves us with an everlasting love. God bless you. I'm handing back to Shona now.